Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio Weekly Wrap-Up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we'll be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, opinions there as well. Gotta tell you, there's a lot of news going on in the world of professional wrestling, a lot of news. Starting with, of course, Kevin Owens resigning his contract. We'll talk about that. Some speculation that someone else possibly re-signed their contract. There is still a crap storm of information and misinformation coming out of the Blood Hunter Hannibal situation with the referee. We're going to discuss that, as well as the Winter is Coming edition of AEW that we'll talk about the ratings there. But let's start first. Let's start with the Hannibal situation, because a lot of people have commented on it. Jim Cornette went nuts. I don't know if you heard Jim Cornette, but wow. Absolutely amazing what he had to say. Initially, what has happened, for people who do not know, is that his name is Devin Nicholson. And he's on television, YouTube anyway, as Hannibal, and he wrestles as the Blood Hunter. And I guess what this guy does, from what I'm hearing, is he pays his own way, and he actually pays the Federation to allow him to wrestle. So in other words, he says, I'll get there on my own. You don't have to pay for me to get there. Plus, I'll give you money and bring my own opponent and pay my opponent. So technically what happens is the promoter gets free talent. He gets a free match. In exchange for this, Nicholson gets to broadcast this on his Hannibal TV YouTube channel. So I guess, you know, it's a business arrangement. And it's good for him. It's good for them. Whatever. Well, he apparently brought in, I guess Carlito was going to wrestle him, former Carlito from WWE. Carlos Colon Jr. And what ended up happening was they had brought a referee, Devin Nicholson, a referee in who had agreed to Blade. He agreed to get color for him and said, I guess he said he'd done it before. So Nicholson said, okay, I guess. And the ending of the match was going to be that the Blood Hunter, who I guess his gimmick is he tries to draw blood on everybody, was going to attack this referee. Referee was going to Blade. Blood Hunter was going to look like he was stabbing him with a spike. And that was going to get his character over or whatever. I guess that's what the situation was. What ended up happening is that this guy lost almost a liter and a half of blood. And he hit a main artery with that spike. He needed all kinds of stitches, had to shave his head, had to give him actual what they call surgery above stitches. And I guess Nicholson's persona non grata with this company. The company came on and said, we in no way condoned what happened. We didn't know what was going to happen, blah, blah, blah. And everyone's calling for the entire wrestling world to basically ban the Blood Hunter, Devin Nicholson, Hannibal, whatever persona. And they're calling him a wannabe and a mark and a this and a that and the other thing. And listen, what seems to have happened here, as far as I can tell, and some people are saying that that it's a situation where Nicholson was mad because the referee was not able to blade properly. And because he was not able to blade properly, Nicholson hit him with a spike on purpose because he felt like it was embarrassing him or causing him to lose face or whatever the situation may be, and they said that was unacceptable. Which it is. It is unacceptable. However, everyone is washing their hands of this. I think people are missing the point. There was a guy who works as the announcer for this world-class wrestling federation, and he says, I want everybody to understand this. The promotion in no way was responsible for what happened because all we did was allow Nicholson, the Blood Hunter, to come in with his own opponent, his own referee, his own valet, etc., and work a match. Didn't book it. We had nothing to do with it, and therefore it's not our responsibility. That is incorrect. And I do not care whether Jim Cornette or Vince McMahon or Tony Khan or anybody else says that's correct. That is incorrect. You are responsible. And here's why you're responsible. Because it's your ring, your venue, your building, your event. You don't get to do that. You don't get to say, well, it was a good deal for us. He paid us to be on there. Okay, how about if he kills somebody? Shoulders and say, not our fault. Yes, it's your fault. If you can't afford to pay talent, if you don't have enough matches to do an event, don't do an event. How about that? Did you ever hear the old adage, you get what you pay for? If some guy is saying, I'll give you money, bring in my own opponent, pay my own transportation there in exchange for you to just give me the right to air it on my channel, maybe a head might say, how come he's paying us? Sound correct? Maybe we better steer clear of this guy. Maybe we better do a little research on this guy. Maybe we better find out if this guy is legit. No. How about if some dude just does it, huh? How about if some dude says, hey, man, me and my friend want to get in there. I'll give you a couple hundred bucks. You going to let him? Because I got news. If they get crippled or hurt, you are responsible. You allowed them in your ring. Now, this guy's a legitimate professional wrestler. He was trained by Bruce Hart and Jacques Rougeau. And I don't know exactly what happened. It does appear, I've watched the videotape now about 400 times, and it's not a very clear videotape. It's hand-cammed. Appears as the referee attempts to cut himself and gets no blood. The reason the referee gets no blood is, I don't care what anybody says, he didn't do this before. And I'll tell you why I know he didn't do it before. Because anyone who tries this, like for the first time, and you know there's backyarders and things who try it for the first time, they always make that mistake if they try to rip the top of their head and they think if they go really long, it's going to bleed a lot. And the true secret to blading that even a lot of professional wrestlers apparently don't know, given the scars on their forehead, is that you don't have to slice at all. You poke. You take the edge of the razor blade and you poke until it hits bone. Pokes and you'll be bleeding like a stuck pig. Slicing ain't going to help you. Poking works. But the referee didn't know it, and he slices himself, and it looks like he's got a big scratch on his forehead. There's no blood coming out because it didn't go deep enough. Which, again, is the mistake that people make when they first try to blade, is they think, well, you know, they don't want to go nutso. They don't want to scalp themselves. So there's always that holdback because you're technically injuring yourself, aren't you, in a way. It doesn't really hurt that much, but you're technically drawing your own blood. It's weird. If you've not done it before, it's weird. The first time I did it, I made the same mistake. The same exact mistake. I made a slice, nothing happened. And I thought, oh my God, and I made another one and nothing happened. I thought, oh my God. And then I figured out, let me just jam the blade two or three times into my forehead, deep enough to make a cut instead of slice, and that works just fine. And it doesn't leave a scar. So this guy probably didn't blade before, probably lied. And it does appear that Hannibal probably did, in fact, hit him with a spike, figuring he was going to try to open him up, and he just went way too far. Now, some people were saying he was staggering around. He looked like he could have been intoxicated. He says he wasn't. There's no evidence to that. What I do know is this. For any federation to say, nothing to do with us, you've lost your mind. Of course it has something to do with you. You allowed him to be a performer at an event you were putting on in a ring you paid for and whose fans paid you to come in and watch. So don't sit here and tell me, well, that's just a totally separate deal. It's not a totally separate deal. A totally separate deal is if he rents the building across the friggin' road and holds his own event. That's your event. So I'm sick of people giving them sympathy, too. And Jim Cornette is one of them. Well, it's not really their fault. Yeah, no, it is. It is your fault. And let everybody be put on notice now that if that's what you really think happened with Hannibal, then don't hire him or don't allow him to pay you to be on a card. Don't be that cheap. Don't be that guy. Don't be that promoter who's like, oh, I got some guys who are going to pay me to be on the card, and I know they're going to suck, but we don't really give a damn about our audience. So we really don't care what they see. We don't care if they're any good because we're getting money put in our pocket, and that's all we care about. That guy. And if you are that guy and this crap happens, then don't get on people talk shows and say, well, it's nothing to do with us. He was a free agent who paid us to be there. His event is totally separate than ours. That is bullshit, Mike. And I'm tired of hearing it from people in the wrestling community.
That is bullshit. And look, a couple things here. There's a reason why Abdullah the Butcher always used the FARC. Just about always used the FARC when he was blading somebody, you know, because a FARC, you know, we know what a FARC is, and he would stab them, and he would stab them, and he would stab them until they will bleed, right? You know, that's Abdullah the Butcher, you know? So yeah, and to your point, it's your ring, it's your building, you know, and here's the deal. I'll give you a good example of what you're talking about. And this had to be 10, 15 years ago. Local indie federation did a card in what is the Iberville Parish Civic Center. And one of the matches on the card was a hardcore match between his Team Extreme and Public Enemy at the time. And, of course, it was going to go all around the building, break some tables and all that stuff, you know, all the prerequisites of what a hardcore match is. Well, the people who run and own the building, when they saw what was going on and the match that was going on, and after the match had ended, they said, no more wrestling in this building because of this one match. You know?
Yep.
And they didn't, I mean, they had to know at the time what a hardcore match was. You would think that the people who put on the card and I know some of the people, they had to explain to the building people that there's, you know, tables and chairs and there's a possibility we go up in the balcony. There's a possibility we go outside, you know, all this stuff that happens in a hardcore match that you have to, the building people had to understand that's what that had to have happened and not fly off the handle like they did and say no more wrestling in this building. That's what we're talking about here. You know, we're talking about a company that, of course, you know what's going to happen. You had to know what's going to happen with this Bloodhunter. I've seen Bloodhunter on, what is it, Southwest, Southeast, whatever, that the wrestling company out of Texas. Out of Texas. I've seen him, and I know what he is. If I'm this company, I've already seen the guy, and I know what this gimmick is, and I still make that agreement, it's all on you.
Exactly,
you know?
Correct, Mike. That's what I'm saying. These guys, you know, Jim Cornette's like, oh, you know, the guy's terrible. He's a mark. He don't know how to work. He's this. He's that. He's the other thing. He's a wannabe. He just he pays people to make it look like he's a wrestler because he goes down there and pays people to be on the card. Well, Jim, if all that's true, why in the blue hell did they hire him? Do you not or allow him to come in? Is that not their fault then? Did they not watch 5 minutes of tape? And if what you're saying is true, did they not say, wait a minute, we're not going to let this guy anywhere near this event. We don't think he's safe. We don't think he's a good worker. We've heard rumors that he goes off script or he's not easy to work with or whatever. And you know, we don't like it. No, it's, oh, we're going to save some money and get an extra match on the show for nothing. And we're going to get publicized. See, here's what people don't understand. Regardless of what you want to say about this guy, Hannibal TV has a lot of subscribers. A lot of subscribers. And the people who watch it, if they get to see that match, may say, oh, well, what federation is this? Maybe I'll watch the whole thing. That's what these promoters were thinking. Oh, this guy's got a presence on social media. He's got a good YouTube channel that has a lot of viewers. I know other wrestlers do that too, and they're not very well trained, or they're not really even professional wrestlers. But they go on YouTube, they make get a million people to subscribe to their nonsense, and then promoters say, well, gee, I don't know. They get an awful lot of hits. Maybe the publicity is worth letting them come in there and stink the joint up. Then it's your ball of wax. How would that be if I was going to hire people to do, let's say I was going to hold a mixed martial arts event. And some guy says, well, you know, I trained for a while in mixed martial arts. I never really was in a major federation for mixed martial arts, but I'll bring my own opponent and I'll pay you to be on the card, and the guy kills him. Am I responsible for letting somebody who really probably wasn't qualified to be in there? The answer is yes. But everybody wants to excuse it because, oh, well, you can't blame the promoter. They're getting free matches. They're getting free publicity. Wrong. I do blame you. I blame you very much. Anyway, we'll put an end to that, and let's talk about KO because Kevin Owens has re-signed with the WWE. And the word is it happened a couple of weeks ago, actually, but they just made an official statement. And I know a lot of people were like, I don't understand this. They haven't been treating him very well. Recently they have, if you notice, but they haven't been treating him very well, and he's been on the back burner, and he doesn't seem happy, and all of that stuff is true. All of that stuff is 100% true. But money talks, folks. And AEW did, in fact, make Kevin Owens a very, very nice offer, and the WWE made a nicer one. And the word I get from AEW is that they was not going to match that offer. They thought that offer was too much money for Kevin Owens. And what I'm hearing is that the WWE has made him one of the top paid guys in the WWE, coming in at between $2 and $3 million a year. 3 years. That's between $6 and $9 million for 3 years. So, let's talk about budget cuts. You can give Kevin Owens close to $9 million for 3 years. But we got to watch our budget. We got to save every penny. we got to get rid of 14, 15, 16 people because we can't afford them. See, this is how I know you're full of crap. This is precisely how I know that you're full of crap. Because what you do, if you really are trying to get rid of excess baggage and high contracts, because you don't sign people for that kind of money. You run with the people who you say, well, I can get this person for, I can get five people for that money, four people for that money. So, bye, KO. I mean, you're just one dude. We can keep this person and this person and this person and this person and what you're asking. And our budget doesn't allow us to give you that much money. That's what you would do if you were truly trying to reduce your costs. The WWE is not trying to reduce their costs. This is not budget cuts and all kinds of crap. I told you that from the very beginning. It's not. Otherwise, they're not doing a $3 million a year contract to anybody with the possible exception of Roman Reigns or maybe Brock Lesnar. That's it. So they've lied to you once again. I don't know why they're cutting these people. It isn't because of budget cuts. Because a company that's counting pennies, not giving Kevin Owens. Did AEW give Kevin Owens a better offer than that? You know what AEW said? That's too much. Too much money for Kevin Owens. We'll pass. And they don't have any problems with budget cuts that I know of. So Todd, quite obviously, the WWE is not having any trouble either, or they don't give KO this fat contract.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said about giving Kevin Owens this lot of more money than Tony Khan was going to give him. But well, like you said, it doesn't have to. When everybody got released, it wasn't it had to do with budget cuts. It had to do with possibly one of the things is the company selling.
Yeah, I mean that's again, that is very very possible. It's very possible that they just want reduce the amount of contracts, not necessarily the amount of money, but the amount of long-term contract. And presumably, if you had good quality stars inked to reasonably long-term deals, it would be easy to sell because you'd say, well, I want those guys, and what happens if I can't re-sign them? So guys like Kevin Owens would be the guy that you would sign for 3 years if you're going to sell in the next year because they know they'd have Kevin Owens for 2 years regardless. All the contracts would roll over. Whereas some of the lesser people, you might say, well, they're not bogged down by those contracts. Nonetheless, Mike, $3 million, upwards of $3 million, that's a lot of money for Kevin Owens.
It is a lot of money for Kevin Owens. And think of it this way. This is this whole stuff about contract bullshit, you know, because think about it. Kevin Owens is what? 39, 40, 41 years old?
Yeah, he's late.
Somewhere around that. Yeah, so a three-year deal would get him into his 40s. How much longer are you going to have Kevin Owens? Even if, let's just say for the sake of argument, the deal doesn't come down for a couple of years. Then what?
Yeah, and Kevin Owens knows that too. That's why Kevin Owens is smart. Kevin Owens issued a statement saying it really wasn't a hard decision because I did what's best for my family. And when you consider what's best for your family, it's usually not too hard to make a good decision. Well, yeah, it is, because when you're 38 or 39 years old and you're now booked into being 41 or 42 when your contract is over, you might be looking at saying, I'm about done here. I'm about done here with close to $9 million extra dollars in my pocket, which will give me a good life for presumably quite a long stretch of your life. So, yeah. That's a no-brainer. I mean, Kevin Owens could finish his contract and never do anything else again but go around to shows and sign autographs and appear here and there at wrestling events, maybe even in non-wrestling roles, and he'd still be set for life. So basically, Kevin Owens is set for life after this contract, and how do you argue with some guy who says, you know, I'm going to be set for life here? Plus, I told everyone there are certain wrestlers, and perhaps Kevin Owens is one of them, I don't know, but there are certain wrestlers who say, look, do I really want to go to AEW and work that hard? Do I really, at my age, especially when you're in your late 30s, going into your 40s, really want to go to AEW and do 20-some-odd minute matches when I can stay in WWE and do a whole bunch of 6 and 8 minute matches and make this kind of money? Because, you see, when you're young, you're idealistic. You're like, I want the world to see what I can do. I want to do 25-minute or 30-minute Ironman matches. I want to do 3 matches in one night. I want to do this. I want to do that. Because you're so hungry to get noticed, and you have so much to prove, that you literally are chomping at the bit. You're like an uncaged tiger. Let me go. Let me go. I want to do stuff. But then when you get a little bit older, you realize the only reason I'm doing this, aside from the fact that I may love wrestling, the main reason I'm doing this is to make a great income for myself and my family. And if that great income comes from doing less, I don't have anything left to prove. Shinsuke Nakamura is one of those people who said, I'm perfectly happy with the WWE. I don't know what people are saying. I should go back to Japan and do hour-long matches where I get my head kicked in. Why bother? I'm making just as much money here. I'm happy. I don't work as much. What's the problem? Wouldn't you do that? If your boss said, I'm going to triple your pay and cut your hours in half, are you going to say, no, I want to get out there and do a whole bunch of, a lot of people are going to say, that's great. Fantastic. Make more, do less. Where do I sign? Again, the younger crew, I understand the younger is trying to want to make themselves, so they can pull out those $2 and $3 million contracts someday. But Kevin Owens is already there. He has nothing left to prove. AJ Styles is already there. He's got nothing left to prove. Shinsuke Nakamura is already there. He's got nothing left to prove. That's why when a guy like Christian or guys like that go over, even Jericho to a certain extent, goes over to AEW, I scratch my head and I say, I don't know why. I mean, it's obviously for the money. They gave Jericho all the money in the world. There's no way WWE even came close to giving him that kind of money. So that's why Jericho did it. And I'm sure he wanted to help start this AEW and light a fire under him. He loves wrestling. I get it. But main reason, I'm sure, is money. Because he has nothing left to prove. Now, other guys like MJF, you know, there's big rumors that WWE has said when his contract is done with AEW, they are intending to make him a huge offer. Well, he may want to think about it. Because it depends on what your perspective is. If your perspective is, no, I got a lot to prove, and I don't want to fall into this, I'm hot for 6 weeks in the WWE and then I'm counting the ring lights and my career's over, you might want to stay in AEW. But if you're all about the money and you're saying, hey, these guys are going to give me this much money, I don't give a damn if I'm losing to the popcorn vendor, like Scott Hall once said, then you go with what's going to make you the most money. It really depends on your perspective and what you want to do with your career. At this stage of his career, Kevin Owens said, if you're giving me between $2 and $3 million a year and sign me to 3 years, I'm yours. And he fully, fully understands that a month from now, he could be dropping matches to Rick Boots. Okay? He fully understands that they could dress him up in a rabbit suit and call him Hoppin' Kevin Owens. He fully understands all that. And he's made the decision that this is what's best for his family. And I respect that decision, Todd. I mean, you know, that's a lot of money.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you say with Kevin Owens, he's set for life after his contract is up. If he gets, like, another contract, probably be, like, a Legends contract or something after that down the road.
Yeah, and it's very possible that they'll do that, too. Because, again, is he going to, at 40-some-odd years old, Mike, want to jump over to AEW where he could get hurt, or is going to, his work rate is going to have to be much higher? I don't think so.
No, I mean, look, think about it this way. You know, they're paying Daniel Bryan, well, Bryan Danielson, who's 38, 39 years old, a lot of money in AEW, but it's not like he's not going to probably end up back in the WWE at some point, right? So then there's that. There are these guys that probably will end up back in the WWE, you know, Daniel Bryan, Jericho, maybe Christian, maybe not, because Christian's a different thing altogether, because I think in his mind, it's not the money per se, it's the fact that he loves wrestling, and he sees that he's only going to be able to be an in-ring performer for a short period of time, and he wanted to be an in-ring performer, you know, and not be sitting on the sidelines, wasting whatever years he has left, you know.
Right, that's what I said, it depends on your perspective. It depends on what you want from the business. If your ultimate goal is to make as much money as possible, then your perspective is a little different from somebody who says, my ultimate goal is to leave a real legacy, and I want to wrestle, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. I mean, Scott Hall famously said, Bret Hart was the type of guy who would take hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars less in his contract, if in that contract it was assured he was either going to be a champion or be in contention for the championship throughout his length of his contract. And he said, myself, I told Vince McMahon, you give me $1 million a year, and I don't give a damn if you use me, you don't use me, I lose to the popcorn vendor, I lose to a referee, I lose to a fan. I don't care. I don't give a damn. Just give me the money, tell me what you want me to do, and that's it. That's two different perspectives. So, you know, at Kevin Owens, again, you have to respect Kevin Owens' decision, because as much as I'm sure he'd like to cut loose, he also has to consider this. I'm up there a little bit in age for a wrestler, not terrible, but I'm getting there. I've abused my body quite a bit. Do I want to go over to AEW and risk a chance that, you know, I haven't done a lot of 25-minute matches and 20-minute matches? Do I want to risk a chance of getting injured and shortening my career? Do I want to stay here in WWE where I know it's pretty damn safe and collect $9 million? I can't fault him for this decision. I can't. I think he probably made the right decision. Whereas a guy like, I don't know, Malakai Black, I guess I understand. Been trying to make a name for himself. He did it in NXT, couldn't do it in WWE. Figures, hey, the money's similar, if not a little bit more, and I still got a lot of years left in me. But, you know, this is the type of guys that watch what happens. See, here's what I predict. Some of these guys that are in their early 30s, wait 5 years, and if the 4 or 5 years, and if the WWE wants them, they'll come to the WWE because they'll be like, well, easier work, similar pay, risk to my body minimal. That's where I'll go. Let me explain that when TMZ showed The Miz a video of this Hannibal incident that we were talking about earlier in the show, The Miz's face told the story. He literally looked at it in horror and said, I don't want to watch that. We don't do that. That's horrible. And he meant it. He was in shock. He's like, that guy should never wrestle again. He shouldn't even be allowed in. Why does anybody do that? The WWE, we don't do that stuff. Well, it used to be very common. ECW did it all the time. But the new generation of wrestlers, there's not a lot of them who want to get color. That's number one. There's a lot of reasons why people don't want to do it health-wise and other things. And there's a different attitude than there was a while back on this kind of stuff. And right now you see that some of the wrestlers are saying, oh, I wouldn't be involved in any federation that did stuff like that. Okay. Well, AEW is getting colored quite a bit, right? There's quite a few matches that have blood over there. They're not forcing anybody to do it. But maybe there are just people who say, look, their style of wrestling is a little more physical. And why bust my ass if I don't have to? I'm in the music business, so let me do it this way. If someone said, I'll give you $1 million to go on a concert tour where you have to play for 2 hours a night, 4 nights a week for 6 months, I'd say, wow, I can do all my songs, 2 hours, that's great. Everybody will get to hear all of my stuff. Or somebody says, I will give you that same amount of money to do 2 songs, warm it up for another band, 1 night a week for 6 months. Well, it's the same money, and I have to work a hell of a lot less. So now the question is, do I want more people to hear more of my music, or do I just say I'm taking the money and working less? It depends on your perspective, folks. Some people would say 2 songs a night. Man, I could be out of there by 8 o'clock. I'll be in bed by 9 o'clock. Got $1 million in my pocket for doing what? 8 minutes worth of work? You'd be an idiot to stay on stage for 2 hours and bust your ass for 2 straight hours. Then there are musicians who are like, nah, man, I want to play all the stuff and let the audience hear everything we got and, you know, show them what we've made of. And I understand both perspectives. You give me $9 million, I'm staying where I am. I'm comfortable here. I know the people here. Now, why this is important, though, is apparently when Kevin Owens re-signed, there were a lot of very happy people in the locker room because he was thought of as one of these guys that's he's very popular, I guess, backstage, and he's also a guy that they consider a mainstay. A lot of people was leaving. And when he decided he was staying, a lot of people felt this is a good sign. Now, another reason it might be a good sign is now here it was that Sami Zayn re-signed. And a lot of this could be based on Kevin Owens being there. You'll notice Sami Zayn's been used on television a lot more. He's not winning any matches, but he's on television a lot. He's getting TV time. There have been some rumors that he re-signed. Now, both Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens had one thing against them. Sami Zayn could not wrestle in Saudi Arabia. They won't let him in the country. Kevin Owens, due to that, in large part, said, I'm not going either. I refuse to wrestle in Saudi Arabia. So some people were saying, yeah, that's, you know, that's going to hurt. Well, obviously it didn't. Obviously it didn't. So if they've got this kind of money to pull out for Kevin Owens, all I want to explain to the WWE is when some other people's contracts come up, and I'm talking about names that you've used more than you've used Kevin Owens. I'm talking about Bobby Lashley. Talking about Drew McIntyre. When those names come up, you better have a lot of zeros at the end of that checkbook. Because these guys are going to say, if you gave Kevin Owens this kind of money, and you're using him as an upper mid-carder for the most part for the entire year, until recently, then you better add a few digits to mine. Because I've been busting ass as a main eventer. So, Mike, that's another thing to think about is this is going to set precedent, and other wrestlers are going to go by that and say, as much as we respect Kevin Owens and understand he's a big deal in this business, you booked him as an upper mid-carder. I'm booked as a main eventer. I deserve more money.
Right, and think about this. We know that at some point within probably the next year and a half or so, Charlotte, her contract is going to come up, right? And if you're going to give her, if you're going to give Kevin Owens that type of money for being a main eventer, what's Charlotte going to ask for? You know, now, yeah. Granted, it all depends on whether or not she's happy there, whatever. But let's just say for the sake of argument, there's no problem. She's happy, all this stuff, right? What is she going to get? She's had her championships. She's probably going to get another championship at some point. Oh well, she still has a championship. They'll put it on somebody else at some point, and she'll get her chance to win it back at some point. Okay, so, but she's been used as a main eventer, right?
And yeah, and Mike, if she does not get equal money, she's going to say, "Oh, here's how it works. WWE don't want to pay there." females the same as the male. I see this coming 100 miles away. That's why I said WWE better understand what they did. I'm glad they signed Kevin Owens. But you have now set a precedent, and the precedent is this is what this level of booking, the people we book, is worth. An upper mid-carder to a low-end eventer is worth $2 to $3 million a year. Well, and I'm sorry, but if you're in the main event, if I know if I was a wrestler over there and I was in the main event most of the time or in the main event picture most of the time and my contract came up, I'd say, no offense to Kevin. He's a legend, but hey, if you're using me in the main event the basis, then I'm worth that too. I'm worth more than that. People are going to judge by that, I'm telling you. There's no doubt in my mind. So the checkbooks are now going to have to come open. So we'll see if this was a wise decision or not. On Kevin Owens' part, I think it was a very wise decision. We'll see if it's a wise decision when it comes to the WWE. So let's talk about AEW a little bit, because something odd happened. And I'm a little skeptical. Apparently, there are major talks among AEW wrestlers, including Matt Hardy himself, that Jeff Hardy's going to sign with AEW. And now Matt Hardy is saying, you know, the WWE is pretty quick to jump the gun. Let's just wait till the drug test comes back, and you might all be surprised. Oh, the only reason my brother didn't accept rehab is because he knows he don't need it. He didn't need to go to rehab. So then what are you saying? Then please explain his actions. Why was he lethargic in the ring? Why did he get out of the ring for no good reason, jump a barricade, and just try to walk to the back? Why did the wrestlers describe him as acting weird and lethargic? What's going on? Because, A, if it's a health problem, why is AEW going to sign him when he has a health problem? If you're telling me, well, he blacked out or he had an issue, well, something's wrong then. You don't want to sign a guy like that. Oh, he was having heart palpitations or he felt dizzy. Well, then something's wrong. Not a good sign. If it was anything else, if it was drugs or alcohol, okay. Well, then why is AEW signing them? Now, experts, so-called experts, are saying there is no way in hell he faked this to get out of his contract so he could join AEW. That's not happening. That never happened. He was talking about all the things he wanted to do in WWE, and he was very happy there. Well, then what's going on? Because you can't talk out of both sides of your face. Either he was drunk or high, in which case he didn't belong in the ring, in which case the WWE had the right to fire him, in which case AEW shouldn't pick up his pieces. He had a major health problem, in which case the WWE should have addressed it, but can't let him in the ring anymore, so you may as well fire him, and AEW certainly should not hire him. So that leaves the third. He did it on purpose. Break a contract so he'd go with his brother and take an AEW contract, and you're saying that that's absurd and that's a conspiracy theory. So you tell me what happened. Because it's one of those things. It's one of those things. So, Todd, I don't know. Everybody's talking out of two sides of their face here.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Like you said, there's a lot of different rumors are still going on around Jeff Hardy about jumping the gun. He's going to AEW. He was high or drunk or a health problem. It's a lot of rumors going, speculating with this going around after his release. Still,
there's an awful lot of weird stuff here, Mike. It's got to be one of these three scenarios. So what the hell's the problem?
I don't know. And look. The one person in AEW that I would want to hear from is the one person that he had a match with and he kind of ended his in-ring career, and that's Sting.
Yep.
You know, and Sting's been quiet about this. He has. Now, at some point, will Sting say something? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But, again, it's, like you said, it's got to be one of those three scenarios.
What
and
pisses me off is Matt Hardy's writing on his Twitter account saying, Maybe the WWE jumped the gun. You just wait and see what happens when the drug test results come out. What are you saying, Matt? That he wasn't high and he wasn't drunk. Okay, what happened? And if something else happened, why didn't Matt Hardy simply go to the WWE and say, Jesus, I don't know. I almost blacked out in there. I got out for my own good, my own safety. I was feeling weird. I was feeling lightheaded and dizzy and over the guardrail so that none of the wrestlers would try to haul me back into the ring because I knew I wasn't fit to be in there. I don't know what happened. Why didn't he say that? Because if he said that, I'm sure the WWE would have said, well, let's go have a medical exam. Maybe you had a stroke. Maybe you have an aneurysm. Maybe you have an issue. You know, let's see what's going on. I don't buy that because that's exactly what you would have done. What do you think I would have done? If that was me, what do you think I would have done? Just say, I know you think I was high or drunk. That's on fire me. No, I would have said, wait a minute. I'm not high. I'm not drunk. Let's go right back and take a test right now. Something happened. I don't know. I felt weird. And they would have said, oh, okay, well, let's have a doctor examine you. He didn't do that. Something's not right. Something's not right. And if AEW is really hounding around looking to sign him, they know nothing major's a problem. So let's not call anything a conspiracy theory until we really understand what's going on. Because it's got to be one of those three things. Now, AEW had their Winter is Coming event, and it's caused a shitstorm because Daniel Bryan and there's two sides of this fight, and I'm not on either one. I'm in the middle. One side is saying this was Hangman Page's first title defense. If he can't even get over Daniel Bryan, how do you expect people to take him seriously as a champion? Here's a draw. All it really proves is that they don't have that much confidence in Page. The other side is saying, this is Daniel Bryan's chance to win. He's got a big name. He'll be a draw. Page should have dropped. Well, let me explain something to you. You can put a guy over without losing to him. It's done all the time. And the way you do that is you show the world he belongs in the same ring, in the same breath, in the same sentence as someone who has the credentials of Daniel Bryan. Now, 6 months ago, a year ago, there were probably a lot of people saying, Hangman Page is not on the same level as Daniel Bryan. If they ever got in a ring together, it would be like Steven Seagal trying to act next to Laurence Olivier. You would see that it's just not going to – you'll see. Well, enter Daniel Bryan, who takes Hangman Page to a draw and allows the world to see, no, he does belong in the ring with me. Yes, he can keep up with me. Yes, he is on the same level as me. And I don't see how that's a bad thing. So for the people who say, oh, it disrespects Hangman Page, no, it doesn't. If anything, it elevates him to say, yeah, look, world, he belongs in the same sentence as Daniel Bryan. And for the people who are saying, well, it disrespects Daniel Bryan having to draw with Page, that's nuts. Now, you could make the argument that if Daniel Bryan's the champion, it's going to draw a little more attention to the product. That's probably true. But at the same breath, you got to eventually build some people. Daniel Bryan's in his 40s, and he doesn't want to wrestle that much. You can't constantly be picking 40-year-old guys who've made their name somewhere else and putting the belt on them. Eventually, you have to put the belt on a guy that they consider, the world considers, your homegrown talent, whether he is or not. And that's Hangman Page. So, quite honestly, Mike, I think they did the right thing. I think this was exactly the way it should have went.
Right, and look, we'll look at it like this. We talk about people that at their age should be doing a certain thing, and that's putting other people over. That's exactly what Daniel Bryan did, because you just said it. Daniel Bryan doesn't want to wrestle that much. Yeah, he wants to be in that picture for, you know, possible. Maybe he wins the championship, maybe not, but he wants to at least be in that picture. but he doesn't want to wrestle that much. So this is a good move for AEW, a very good move.
I thought so too. I read the fans' comments saying, oh, you got to put Daniel Bryan over so you get more audience. And then the Hangman Page fans saying, oh, if Page can't win his first title defense, you got no confidence in him. But Todd, well, who really didn't know much about Hangman Page, but do know Daniel Bryan, you watch this, and you end up with a feeling like, okay, well, that guy is every bit as good as Daniel Bryan. He's on the same level. I think that's what they were trying to show, and I think they succeeded.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I saw one of the posts from that match on social media saying that's an insta-classic match. And I looked at it like, maybe it could be an insta-classic.
It's the right move. I know people are frustrated, and I know fans booed. Fans booed the draw. But I think, you know, a lot of fans booed the draw because they wanted to see a conclusion. And that's not to say you won't see a conclusion. I'm sure they'll have a rematch. At some point, you'll see a conclusion. I would believe the conclusion is Hangman Page going to keep that belt, which would be the right move. If you force me into a corner and say, what do? Daniel Bryan being in this federation did not necessarily give the ratings a huge bump permanently. So will him being champion give it a huge bump permanently? I don't necessarily think so. What's eventually going to lead to you getting more and more viewership is that people become interested in your homegrown talent and not your bought and paid for talent from somebody else's federation. So I think AEW did the right thing there. Now, the ratings came out, and they were over 900,000. So people were interested in this match. There were eyes on the product. So over 900,000 people got to see that Hangman Page belongs in the same breath as Daniel Bryan, the same sentence. That's a good thing. Now, can they keep this 900,000? Well, traditionally, the answer is no. Traditionally, is next week you're going to see 790, 750, 810, something like that. That's the way AEW has been going for a long, long time. When they have a major, major match or a major, major event, they get a ratings boost, a temporary ratings boost. And this is why some people are arguing you do have to do something to increase your viewership on a regular basis, which I agree with. I just don't think Daniel Bryan being the champion is necessarily the answer to that, Mike.
I don't think so either. CM Punk as a champion would be it either. So if that's not it either, and I mean, look, you want to see them keep growing, Hangman Page and MJF and Jungle Boy and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, their women's division as well, you know, to the point of where, you know, the entire show gets you, that Wednesday show gets you, 925, 958, possibly touching a million. And then the Friday show gets you in the mid-800,000s, you know. That's what you want, but can they get there? We'll see.
Yeah, it's yet to be seen. Again, I just think AEW fans are being a little, short-sighted on this. I understand your frustration. I understand that the Hangman Page fans want to see his first title defense be successful. I get it. And I understand the people who want higher ratings for AEW think Bryan is the answer, but let's just let it play out. I think this was the right move for right now. And let's see what happens. If the ratings go down, 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 then you might want to push the panic button and put the belt on CM Punk or Daniel Bryan for a little bit. If the ratings remain kind of right about where they are, just keep pushing Paige and see what happens. Just keep pushing your homegrown guys and see what happens. Use your names to push your homegrown guys and see what happens. That's my best advice. Anyway, what are we going to see on SmackDown? Well, Lord knows. I mean, Roman Reigns is coming back. Not sure why he wasn't there last week, but he's coming back. And I guess we'll see where this whole thing goes. with Brock Lesnar and the Paul Heyman situation, I do know this. It would be very, very difficult to put on a worse show than they put on last week. Not wrestling-wise, but logistics-wise and interest-wise. It was almost unwatchable. So I expect a much better show this week. Much better. Now, that may be asking a lot from the WWE, I understand, because they could come up with another total F. Believe me, they could. Seem to do that on a regular basis. But something tells me that they understand the last 2 weeks has been a crap show. And I'm hoping that they realize they got to pick up the pace tonight. And I know they're advertising Roman Reigns is back like a big deal. I'm going to caution the WWE on one thing. I am a big Roman Reigns fan. I think he's doing a fantastic job. But don't put all your eggs in one basket. And if all you ever have to turn to is, Roman Reigns will be here, even though it's a Raw event, so come to Madison Square Garden because Roman Reigns will be here. Roman Reigns is on SmackDown tonight, so you have to watch it. Eventually, fans are going to start rejecting that, saying, where's the rest of the guys? Okay, watch his spot, and then I'll flip over. So you don't want that to happen, Todd, so they better start building some other characters as well.
Actually, right there, like you said, they need to build up other characters around Roman Reigns and other storylines practically. You know, this can't be all one person every single week or two people every single week.
No, it can't be. And, Mike, aside from that, it's starting to become a running joke that, like, Veer Mahal is coming to, what is it, Raw or SmackDown or wherever the hell he's coming to. We said that we have to have vignettes and everything, but my God, at some point, you got to present these people.
Yeah, at some point, think about it this way. They had vignette after vignette with Mr. Perfect, and then what happened? He showed up, right?
Yeah.
Same thing for the Million Dollar Man. He showed up, right? You know, so at some point he is going to have to show up. Now, as far as the Roman Reigns thing is, like you said, you can't just survive on that. They need, in my opinion, they need to pull the trigger on the Naomi Roman Reigns Uso thing. They need to pull that trigger.
They got to get that train back on the track. There's no question about it because it's starting to come off the rails a little bit, starting to become boring. And, yeah, you know, the Million Dollar Man and Mr. Perfect things, those skits were entertaining. Veer Mahal and that is – Veer, whatever his name is just like – he's just standing there. It's not entertaining in any way, shape, or form. You're not even trying to make it entertaining. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Bottom line, folks, is this, though. SmackDown used to be the must-watch television show. I'm going to say for the last couple of weeks, at least, Raw's actually put on a better product. So they have to step up, and they have to stop putting every single egg in the Roman Reigns basket and expecting, oh, well, that's all we have to say is two magic words, Roman Reigns, and the ratings go up. That could work temporarily. That's not going to work forever, and it's not even going to work for much longer unless you get the story back on track. We'll see you Sunday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.